So, happy Sabbath, everybody. I'm Levi Mansager. A little bit about myself. I've been going here to YRM basically my entire life. I am the son of Deacon Ryan Mansager, the grandson of Elder Alan Mansager, and the nephew of Randy Fulliard. So you could say I got quite a bit of some big shoes to fill while I'm up here. I am the eldest of five siblings, Aiden, Faith, Micaiah, and Adele Mansager. And like I said, my father's Ryan Mansager, and my mother is Jessica Mansager. It doesn't seem that long ago that my mom would go ahead and she would put a blanket or like a towel on the ground, and in our living room, she would put sermons up. And the main purpose of this was to go ahead and make it to where I don't talk at all while I'm here at service. And I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of hoping that the children in the audience here today have gotten similar training now that I'm up here giving the sermon. When I was asked to do a sermon today, I was pretty excited, but I didn't really know exactly what I was going to do. I had the idea that I would go ahead and I would talk about the differences between provisionalism, Calvinism, or Arminianism, and then I came to the conclusion that that's probably not a good first sermon to do. So, I do college Bible studies at my college, and while writing one of them about our Savior's sacrifice, I came to the conclusion that this would probably be a pretty good sermon. So that's how I got this idea. I'm hoping I can give this topic the reverence that it deserves. Yeshua's sacrifice is extremely important, and I'm hoping that this message can be a representation of that. So, growing up, we always hear about self-sacrifice. Google gives us a definition of such sacrifice as the giving up of one's own interest or wishes in order to help others advance a cause. But what is it about self-sacrifice that us humans find so endearing? Our most famous tropes in movies are characters sacrificing something about themselves in order to give a cause or help someone out. It often involves giving something up or going ahead and giving up their own wishes, or it sometimes even involves dying for someone else. These tropes hit us so hard because naturally us humans have a very selfish nature. The world we live in is tailor-made to only focus on ourselves. Our celebrities, our influencers, and even our politicians are always going ahead and they're showing off their wealth. We live in a society where we are supposed to go ahead and endlessly strive for more riches and more wealth so that maybe one day we can retire on a beach house in Florida. And none of these things are necessarily a problem in and of themselves. But when we go ahead and we put those things on such a pedestal, we can often lose our selflessness. A part of sacrifice is giving things up. And one of those things are our personal desires. We want things, we want many different things, but that's not what we're always called to go ahead and do. Where's that clicker? There it is. Oh, uh-oh. I don't know what I did. I don't think it's going to go to the next slide. Lucas? Oh. So, we're going to go to Hebrews 13:5, and that states, "Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, he will never leave you nor forsake you." We need to remember that riches are only temporary. When we pass, we can't take them with us. But that's often an easier fact to say than to actually go ahead and put in our hearts. In our day-to-day life, our comfort often goes ahead and kind of makes or breaks our day. But how did his everyday go? I mean, he's a king, right? Surely his life would be filled with a ton of riches. But that's not how it happened. That's not how it worked. He lowered himself to become a servant to us. Riches were none of his concern. Just like everything in his life, riches were put aside to further his Father's kingdom. And that's kind of the thing about sacrifice, you know. Yahweh will go ahead and tell us to go ahead and give something up. And then temptation goes ahead and tells us to keep it to ourselves. But how did our Savior go ahead and handle this when that happened? Well, we get the answer in Matthew 4, 1 through 11, if you guys could please turn with me. Then was Yeshua led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of Yahweh, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Yahweh." Then the devil taketh him up into a holy city and settled him on a pinnacle of the temple. And said unto him, "If thou be the Son of Yahweh, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in his hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Yeshua said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt Yahweh thy Elohim." And the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mount, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the earth, and the glory of them, and said unto him, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then saith Yeshua unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship Yahweh thy Elohim, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. This event wasn't Yeshua being tempted by worldly treasures. It was him being pushed to his human limits, and not only succeeding, but destroying the devil with biblical wisdom. Our Savior shows us how we're supposed to act when our faith and our human desires meet. And how many times do we go ahead and fall short? How many times have you heard someone gossip about someone else, and you responded with, a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. Proverbs 11:13. We probably don't do that, do we? We usually either go ahead and we stay quiet so we don't seem weird, or maybe we even go ahead and we add into that gossip. We fall short so many times in situations like this. However, Yeshua shows that when we're put through temptation, how we're supposed to respond. And that's with Scripture. Temptation is very difficult. We have constant access to almost any sin we crave. So that's why we need to make sure when we are able to sacrifice our own desires, temptation is not an excuse. It's not an excuse for sin. Whether our temptation is lustful eyes or a loose tongue or even pride or a prideful heart, we must look to Yahweh for solutions to those answers, just as our Messiah did. We're going to go ahead and turn to John 13:1-7. Now, before the feast of Passover, when Yeshua knew that his hour had come, and he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them until the end. And supper being ended, the devil having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Yeshua, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from Yahweh and went to Yahweh, he riseth up from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded himself. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, "Master, doth thou wash my feet?" Yeshua answered and said unto him, "What I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter." Peter said unto him, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." Yeshua answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part in me. Simon Peter said unto him, Master, not my feet, but also my hands and my head. Yeshua said unto him, He that washeth needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all, for he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, he had taken his garment and was set down again and said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me master and teacher, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If then your teacher and master have washed your feet, ye also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I do, or I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his master, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye that do them. Even in Yeshua's last meal with his disciples, knowing exactly what was going to happen to him, he still showed servanthood. It wasn't just him showing kindness, it was an example for us to follow. Every Passover here at YRM, we wash each other's feet as they did that night. But we also need to remember that we must do this outside of the assembly to show love and kindness to all. Remember, knowing full well what Judas had done, Yeshua did not neglect to wash his feet. Sacrificing our pride and being a servant to those who are wrong isn't just being a bigger person, it's commanded. There's more to the feet washing as well. Peter's reaction wasn't wrong based on who Yeshua is. Peter saw the Son of Yahweh lowering himself and reacted as such. Peter didn't deserve to have his feet washed. Yeshua once again lovingly lowered himself to serve those who would still go on to betray him, showing what we're also supposed to do. Remember, that very night, Peter went out and denied Yeshua 3 times, even after this lesson. I'm going to turn to our next verse, which will be Luke 22, 39 through 44. And he came out and went as he wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and sweat was as it was great drops of blood falling down to the ground. I think sometimes we think of Yeshua as this person who was always 100% stoic, like kind of like our action heroes in movies, you know. In every situation, he showed just total stoic emotion. We can kind of lose his humanity, in a sense. Just like us, Yeshua showed fear, he showed anger, and he showed joy. Can you even imagine being put in a situation where the weight of the world's sins are on your shoulder and you know exactly what that means? Only one man had to feel that anxiety, that fear, the weight of the world's sins put on him and the torture he was about to endure. Him sweating out blood isn't there just to make his sacrifice seem more grand. It's the understandable fear that he was going through. I can't even imagine being put in a situation like this. I mean, all of us have anxiety to a certain extent. Maybe it's because you're scared to start a new career or you're moving to a new place to live. And many of us feel anxiety about maybe talking to a boss about taking work off for the feast days. I know a lot of us very recently probably had that anxiety. However, Yeshua shows that these feelings are natural. that there's nothing wrong with us, that we don't have to be robots. We can show emotion. We can have anxiety. But he also shows us that we must push through those emotions. Just like our Savior sacrificed everything for us, we can sacrifice for our Father in heaven. I keep saying that he sacrificed everything for us. And that's kind of a hard concept to really fully grasp. It's because, I mean, we're all selfish to a certain extent. Imagine every action you take being made for the pursuit of others. That's how much he loves us. John 3:16, for Yahweh so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have eternal life. And that leads us to the many horrors our Savior faced. Yeshua had been spit on by his own people. He had been beaten, he'd been whipped, and he had a crown of thorns jammed into his skull. And he had his hands and feet nailed onto a piece of wood. Torture so excruciating, no first world country still practices them today. And that leads us to our next verse, which will be Matthew 27:45-50. Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Yeshua cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabai Allah maleki. That is to say, my El, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they had heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway, one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. And the rest said, let's be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Yeshua, when he had cried out with a loud voice, yielded up the spirit. A perfect man had been put to death. A man whose life was spent preaching to others about how to serve our Father in heaven and how to be better people. He healed the sick, he fed the poor, and what was his reward? It was to be put to death in front of those who believed in his message and taught others to do so, and was put to death also in front of those cheering for his death. And how did Yeshua respond to this? He said, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. When we read the Bible and we see the rabbis and the Jews screaming at the Romans to put Yeshua to death, we ask, why would anyone do something so vile to an innocent man? And then we still go out and commit sin. We need to remember that the Pharisees are not any more guilty of Yeshua's blood than you or me. Understanding his sacrifice is the understanding that through his death is our redemption. That being a good person by our own human morality isn't enough. That the only way we find redemption is through the Son of Yahweh. And that is not a message against morality or the law. My redemption isn't through keeping the Sabbath or by being kind. I do those things because as a follower of Yeshua Messiah, I do the things he did and the things commanded for me to do by Yahweh Almighty. We do not have an excuse to sin. How could those who believe in Yahweh still go out and willingly go and sin against his word? Yeshua is not our exception for sin. He is even more of a reason to keep Yahweh's word. Remember what Paul said in Romans 6:1-3. What shall we say then? Shall we go out on in sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died of sin. How can we live any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who are baptized into Yeshua Messiah were baptized into his death? By myself, I am nothing. I am no more than a depraved sinner whose only focus is on my own selfish desires. But Yahweh loves me and all of you enough to send his son to die for us so that we can shed our ways and we can turn to him. But still, we don't deserve this love. That's what makes his life sacrifice so amazing. The transactions are not equal. It's totally unjustified. The Son of Man, the perfect Son of Yahweh, living a life of servanthood, put to death for dirty sinners who deserve nothing. That's how great Yahweh's love is for us. He doesn't expect a transactional relationship with us. How would we ever be able to pay back all that has been given to us? I mean, how could we? Not a single one of us can claim to be perfect. Only one man can. That's what makes Yeshua's sacrifice the most wonderful gift ever given to us. We have all fallen short of his glory. No one can claim they are more deserving of the kingdom than anyone else. It is only by his mercy that we have redemption. We must remember, and we need to remember those who have not found the truth. Only a week and a half ago, a popular conservative Christian influencer, Charlie Kirk, was assassinated. He died because he spoke out because of his faith and his morals. Kirk was only 31 with a wife and two children. We need to continue to pray for them that they can continue without a husband or a father in their lives anymore. I don't consider myself to be a political person. I kind of fell out of politics a while ago, but I used to watch a lot of conservative influencers, and Charlie Kirk was one of those influencers. So seeing what transpired that Wednesday, it was pretty heart-wrenching. It was hard not to see a person from my community taken from me. But it's our reaction to such an event that we need to go ahead and keep in check. Many of us are angry. We need someone to blame. But brethren, I plead that we don't look to demonize our fellow man. You may blame the other side of the political aisle, or maybe the media, for fanning the flames. But we need to remember, just like everything wrong in this world, sin is to blame. Just like you and me, the person who committed such an evil act is also made in the image of Yahweh. The people mourning Kurt's death are made in the image of Yahweh, and so are the ones celebrating. I have no idea what evil had to come over that man to do such a vile thing, but I do not know the future. Even though it is hard, we still need to pray for those who commit evil and that they can still come to Yahweh. It's not up to me to judge those who receive mercy. And what benefit would it be to physically fight back? As followers of Yeshua, we are called to respond with peace and not with violence. The only way to combat sin is with Yahweh, with love and with kindness. And if we die trying to do that, that's the most we can do. Even Charlie Kirk stated, all death can do a believer is deliver him into the hands of Yeshua Messiah. We can start a revolution, but not of violence, but a revolution of Yahweh's word. When the high priest and the Roman soldiers went to arrest Yeshua and Peter cut the guard's ear off, how did Yeshua respond? Did he respond with, let's rise up against those? No. He said none of this and healed the man. Matthew 5:38-39. Ye have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. We need to remember, we need to be ready to sacrifice. You may not have a lot of persecution in your life right now, but a lot of things can change. We need to make sure we are not scared to spread Yahweh's word, but to also show it in our day-to-day life. to sacrifice our own pleasure all the way to sacrificing our lives, all in the pursuit of showing our Father in heaven. Yeshua not only sacrificed his well-being in the pursuit of his Father's kingdom, but also showed us how to sacrifice in the face of evil. And how do we know this is true? Because Yeshua has risen from the grave. He is with the Father in heaven. His sacrifice was not in vain. And now through him, we not only have our blueprint on how we are to sacrifice, but also our redemption. And this message is probably going to be pretty short. I'm wrapping up here, but just a few more points. So I ask you all today, how much can you sacrifice? You may have to sacrifice your comfort, you may have to sacrifice your pride, and you may even have to sacrifice your very life. But brethren, I pray that we choose Yahweh, and that we look to his Son, that in times of trial we are a mirror of Yahshua's life, though we are never going to be perfect. We try our best in the pursuit of our Father in heaven, Yahweh. Sacrifice is scary, but what is much more scary is a world without it. May Yahweh bless you.